Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Go to John, the 14th chapter, and let's get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. How many want to get more acquainted with the Holy Spirit? Get to know him more, because he's been sent by Jesus, by the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us and assist us in life. And just as the disciples had Jesus with them while they were here on the earth, we have the Holy Spirit with us. And the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. He's just like Jesus. Just like Jesus was to his disciples, that's how the Holy Spirit is to be to you and I. Think about that. How would you like to have Jesus walking around with you? Huh? How would you like to have Jesus walking around with you? Praise God. I mean, you go somewhere, Jesus is right there with you. That'd be pretty nice. Well, it is nice, and it is so. It is so, because we have the Holy Spirit who's just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. He's as much as a part of the Godhead as the Father is and as the Son is. He is God. He is God. And he has a personality. He is an individual. He is an individual. He thinks, he speaks, just like you. You know, you and I were created in the image and likeness of God. And God is in three persons: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so we've been created in the image and likeness of God. And I mean, we're not just little mists floating around, are we? No, we're not just some little energy force. Now, don't get me wrong, he's full of energy. Amen. And he is likened to mist at times. We'll see that here hopefully in a little bit as we get into the word and we get to know him a little bit more. But that's not, he's not a mist, just like he's not a dove. He came upon Jesus in the form of a dove, but he's not a dove. He's a person with a personality, just like you have a personality. He has a personality. We have to realize that. We have to renew our mind to that. I understand. This Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us, is with us all the time. And he's with us just like Jesus was with his disciples, his 12 disciples, that he spent a lot of time with. Except we have it even better, because the Holy Spirit is with us 24/7. Jesus couldn't be with his disciples 24/7. There was sometimes Jesus went off to pray and he left a few of them behind. And sometimes he just took three of them with him. No, sometimes he just went and prayed by himself. Sometimes he just sent his disciples to go and do some things, and he remained in a certain place. But not so today. The Holy Spirit now dwells in us, is with us all the time, if we'll let him. If we'll let him be with us all the time. And he will lead us, and he will guide us, and he will teach us, and he will help us, and he will not forsake us. He will not leave us alone for a second. We never have to beg for the Holy Spirit, because he's already here. He's just waiting for us to yield to him, to listen to him, to cooperate with him. In order to do that, we get to know him. The more we get to know him, the more we yield to him. The more we'll cooperate with him. The more we'll flow with him. We got to become more and more aware of him. 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 Not it. Him. He's a person. He's a person. Here, over in John, the 14th chapter, and in verse 16, it says, and I, Jesus talking here, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper. Literally, that translates another of the same kind. Another just like me. See, I'm your helper right now, Jesus is basically saying. I'm your helper right now, but he's going to give you another helper that's just like me. Just like me. Going to give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. That he, not it, he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He is a person. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And he, according to the book of Ephesians, can be grieved. In fact, hold your place there in John. Why don't we just look at that? How many know energy can't be grieved? Right? But he can be grieved. And we see that here in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 30. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then he begins to list the kind of things that grieve him. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. For clamor, my margin says loud quarreling. That grieves the Holy Spirit. We start getting loud, you know, fighting and yelling at each other, screaming and yelling, having a fit. This grieves the Holy Spirit. See, these things affect him because he's a person. He don't like it. Just like you don't like things. There's certain things you don't like. Well, there's things he doesn't like. He doesn't like when people are yielding to bitterness and anger and wrath and loud quarreling, fighting with each other, screaming at each other. He doesn't like that. It grieves him. That actually, when you look at the word grieve, it means to wound. I mean, it affects him deeply. It really bothers him. So we need to understand that you know, you're not the only one being bothered in a yelling match. You know, if you're screaming and yelling at somebody and having a fit, you're not the only one being bothered by it. I don't think anybody likes being in a yelling match with somebody, right? Well, he don't like it either. In fact, he gets hurt by it. It grieves him. It hurts him. It wounds him. So that should be an incentive right there to help us control ourselves. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to be happy around me. You know? If we get into disobedience, we grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve him. I don't want to grieve him. I want him to be pleased with me. I want him to be comfortable around me. Why? Because he's my helper. I don't want to make it hard on my helper. I want my helper to be able to help me. I don't want him to wish that he couldn't, he doesn't, you know, I don't want to make him wish he wasn't around me. You know? I don't want to annoy him. I don't want to be an annoyance to him. I want to be a joy to him. We should want to be a joy to the Holy Spirit. So that should be an incentive to get these things out of our life. Verse 2, he says, be kind to one another. See, because it's not just affecting one another, it's affecting the Holy Spirit. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Have mercy on each other. Just as God in Christ also forgave you. Now, those are the kind of things that please him. When we're quick to forgive and be kind to one another. He likes kindness. He doesn't like when folks are mean. Because he's not mean. It's not his personality. The Holy Spirit doesn't walk around mean and angry and mad at people. That's not how he goes through life. You know, people talk about how God's an angry God. He's an angry God. Well, if you want to know God, look at Jesus. There were things that angered Jesus, but Jesus wasn't angry in the sense that he hated people, was bitter towards people, was resentful towards people, was in a fighting match with people, was against people. He's for us. When he gets angry, it's actually for us, not to hurt us, because he wants to help us. He wants to deliver us. But come back here to John, the 14th chapter. Notice, actually, let's go to chapter 16 now, John 16. And in verse 7, Jesus talks some more about the Holy Spirit. He talks quite a bit about him here. There's several verses in chapter 14, 15, and 16. Where he talks about the Holy Spirit. He's getting his disciples ready for him. And he says in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. I'll send him to you. And when he has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So notice that Jesus says, it's to your advantage. I go away. Now you think, how could it be to anybody's advantage, Jesus leaving? Because again, he's going to send someone just like him who's going to remain with us all the time. So just kind of picture that. When you're thinking about the Holy Spirit, just think about Jesus being there with the disciples. If there was any kind of problem, I mean, you know, if Peter woke up one morning with a stiff neck. And he had his head on a rock all night, you know. And he gets up, and the sleeping bag just didn't work out for him. And he gets up, and he walks over. Lord, he says, Lord, my neck and my back's really bothering me. I mean, it's stiff as can be. And what's Jesus going to do? Jesus said, well, I'm so sorry about that. It's just too bad. Now go make me breakfast. What's Jesus going to do? He's going to say, oh, Peter. And knock that thing right off him. Right? It's to your advantage that I go away. Because the Holy Spirit is just like me will come. And we have to recognize that. We've got any kind of problem, we can just take it right here to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're here with me right now. Thank you for just taking care of that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for setting me free from that. He's here to help you. He's here to help you. You know, when we speak the word of God, he's the power behind the word. So when you're speaking the word of God over yourself, you know, by whose stripes you were healed, the Bible says. So you declare that over yourself. By whose stripes you were healed. Speak it to your body. Well, the Holy Spirit's right there. He's listening. And he acts upon that word. When you speak that word, he does the word. He performs the word in your life. He brings the word to pass in your life. He's the power behind the word of God. See, it's not just a confession. A lot of folks have just made faith a confession. Well, you believe this and you say this. Well, there's someone there. There's someone there to back you up, to help you. And that will perform the word of God. He does everything Jesus says. And when you say what Jesus says, it's as though Jesus said it. That's why we always add in Jesus' name when we say things. When we declare, when we pray. We say in Jesus' name, which makes it as though Jesus himself is saying it. And the Holy Spirit does exactly what Jesus says. He's here to watch over the words of the Lord Jesus, over the words of God, to perform them in our life. So when we're speaking the word by faith, there's someone there that actually does the work of causing that word to manifest in our life. So we got to become aware of him. We got to become aware of him, not just make a confession, not just speak the letter of the word of God. And then in verse 13 of chapter 16, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. See, that's what I meant when I said, see, he's watching over the words of Jesus. He will glorify you. He'll manifest the words of Jesus in our life. So when we're speaking the words of Jesus, there's someone here, and it's the Holy Spirit who actually performs those words in our life, brings them to pass in our life. So it's like, you know, we don't have to, you know, God's not far away. God is with us. God is with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's with us all the time. So, you know, it's not like God has to come jumping off his throne and get down here and help me. He's right here already. He's right here already. He's there in the morning when we wake up. Praise God. Take care of any kind of temptation to have a stiff neck. Verse 14 again. He'll glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will bring revelation of the word of God, which is the Lord Jesus. He will declare it to you, so then you can declare it back to him. And he can perform it in your life. Because you have what you say. Because you have what you say. So he'll declare it to you, give you a revelation of the word, so that you could take what he declared to you and you could declare it back to him. And when you declare it back to him, he brings it to pass in your life. See, it's like he says it to you, and if you don't say anything back, it means you didn't get it. You just didn't get it. But if he says it to you and you say it back to him, means you got it. Hallelujah. Got what he said. And now he can bring it to pass for you. See, if you're not listening, if you don't get it, if he declares it to you and you don't hear him, there's no response from you. It's as though you didn't hear anything. Then he can't do anything. So his being here is worthless in your life. Because he can't do anything if you don't declare it back. So you got to show that you've received it, you believe it, and then you speak it. And he works it in your life. I'm talking about working the word of God. And the word of God covers everything in life. Everything in life is covered in the word of God. Any kind of problem, any kind of situation you may face in life, there's a word for it. There's a scripture for it. Just dig into the word of God. You got your answers. Can you say amen? And the Holy Spirit will help you because he's your teacher. He's the one that will help you, right? He said, I'll give you a helper. Holy Spirit's your helper. He will teach you the word of God. He will give you understanding of the scriptures. He will light it up to you. So you're not in there trying to figure out the Bible on your own. So you don't have to be real smart. You just have to believe, right? You just have to believe that he's smart, he knows, and he's here. Praise God. All I got to do is listen. And when I listen, he speaks. And he shows me things to come. He gives me understanding. I'm so glad nothing has to catch us by surprise in life. You can know what's to come in the days ahead. You can know what's around the corner. If you need to know, he'll show it to you. He'll help you so that you can be ready for it. Life doesn't have to catch us by surprise. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. We have him with us. So again, verse 13, verse 15. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So everything that belongs to God, he's going to reveal it to you and I. It's kind of like we were talking about last night over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Now again, you connect that with what he just said in John 16, 15. All things that the Father has are mine. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. He will reveal to you all these things that are mine that I have given you. Because everything Jesus has been given to us. And he says, he will declare it to you, which goes right along here, where it says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. His Spirit declares these things to us. He reveals to us all these things that is in the Father and has been given to Jesus and now is available through Jesus to you and I. We got to know what's available to us in Jesus so we can take advantage of it. We got a lot available to us. I said we got a lot available to us and we got to take advantage of it. So we need him to open our eyes and show us these things. Give us the understanding of these things. And we can get to know him, get more acquainted with him by looking at what the Bible likens him to. And he's likened to many things. For one, he is likened to wind. He's likened to fire in the word of God. In fact, John the Baptist talked about how Jesus would come and he would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. And he's also likened to water. And then water comes in many different forms. Water comes in the form of rain, rivers, wells, and the Holy Spirit is likened to all these things. We're trying to get acquainted with him. See, he's got an incredible personality. He's likened to fire, and he's likened to water. Water will put out fire. Isn't that right? They use water to put out fire. So it's really just like two extreme opposites, fire and water and wind. Think about that a little bit. Get to know him. That's how he showed up on the day of Pentecost, right? He came in like a mighty rushing wind Acts chapter 2. He filled the whole house where the disciples were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. He came in like wind. Well, praise God. Does he still come in like wind today? Sure. But he might show up like fire. Just kind of depends what kind of mood he's in. You know, just he might come as water. He might come as fire. And again, water comes in many different forms. He can come like the rain. Like the rain. He's likened to rivers of living water. Jesus said over in John, the 7th chapter, talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit after he was ascended to the Father. He said, you'll be filled with him, and out of your belly or out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you got rivers. Rivers of living water on the inside of you. He's likened to fountains. Fountains of water. A mist, like we said before. Dew. Waterfalls. Waves. A cloud. And a cloud is a water vapor of the air. That's what a cloud is. And we see him many times in the Old Testament manifest in the form of a cloud. And of course, a good cloud that's got a lot of rain in it and is full of power has lightning. And he's likened to lightning. Job chapter 36, verse 32 says, he covers his hands with lightning and commands it to strike. Talking about God. God covers his hands with lightning. Well, the Spirit of God is also likened to the hand of God. He's the hand of God. Just like Jesus is the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is the hand of God. And we see that many times in Scripture. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 1. Ezekiel 8, 1. It says, and it came to pass, this is Ezekiel talking, and it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. Well, what do you think that is? The hand of the Lord fell upon me there. Well, if you go over into the New Testament, over to the book of Acts, you see where the Holy Spirit would fall on people. And it literally talked about him falling on people. And of course, we've, likened that to the rain, because he is likened to rain. Rain falls. But also the hand of the Lord. It's God's hand falling upon him. And he got blessed. When God's hand comes on you, I got news for you, it blesses you. When God's hand comes down on you, it isn't a bad thing. People think that's judgment, you know? The judgment of God is God's hand coming down on you. No, God's hand come down on you, man, you're going to get blessed. You're going to get like Ezekiel. You're going to get all kinds of revelations. You're going to see all kinds of things. You're going to just be blessed with the power of God. No, judgment is when the hand of God comes off you and you're left by yourself to reap what you've sown in life. I'm now getting away from mercy. I'm getting away from grace. I don't want to get out from under the grace of God. I want to stay under the hand of God. I want to stay under God's hand of protection, where he's protecting me and he's guarding me. That's why David, the great psalmist, he said after he had sinned terribly, he cried out to God. He said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, I mean, I might lose this. I might lose the house. I might lose some money or whatever. But don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And we have to have that same heart of David, where it's like, Lord, I don't want to ever lose your Holy Spirit. I never want to do anything to grieve the Holy Spirit and get out from under him. Get away from him. I want the hand of the Lord upon my life. I want to stay under his mighty hand. Bible says, humble yourself, over the book of James, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and what's that hand going to do? It will lift you up. It will raise you up. That's what God's hand wants to do. When God's hand's on your life, it brings you up. It doesn't knock you down. His hand comes on you, whoop, you come up. That's what happens. I want to keep coming up. I want to keep rising up in life. I don't want to be beaten down. So therefore, we want to stand under the hand of God. We never want to grieve the Holy Spirit. That's why it's quick. It's important to be quick to repent. If you miss it, if you've done anything that you know grieves the Holy Spirit, then you want to repent right away and be kind. Just get nice fast, because we don't want to move out from under him. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. I want your hand upon my life. Over in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46, it says, then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, you know, when you read the whole story, him running ahead of Ahab is a supernatural thing, because Ahab was in a chariot with the best horses in the country pulling that chariot. And so Ahab's in his chariot, he's got the best horses taking him to Jezreel. And he got a head start on Elijah. And the Bible says the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah and he became like the $6 million man. You remember the $6 million man? The bionic man, you know. Then he just took off, man. Think about that. Imagine seeing that. You're sitting there on your farm. There goes Elijah. Kicking up the dust. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. See, that's the hand of the Lord. Man, it's the same hand of the Lord that came upon Samson, caused him to be able to kill a thousand men with the jawbone of a donkey. Caused him to be able to pick up the gates of this city, these huge gates, and rip them up, post it all with his hands, because of the power of God that came upon him. Supernatural strength. And here's Elijah running supernaturally fast. Man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on. If we need to get somewhere, he can get us there. Hallelujah. Over in the book of Acts, there was a man by the name of Philip. This hand of God came on him, and he was translated from one place to another. So he didn't have to run. He blinked. And boom, he went from one place to the other. So, you know, God has all kinds of ways of getting us places. If we'll trust him, if we'll believe God for it, if we need it, he's there to help us. We've got the hand of the Lord upon us. Let's let the hand of God just push some idols over. Knock some things down. Keep the serpents away from us. He was in the lion's den with Daniel. And the lions couldn't touch Daniel. Daniel was able to sleep comfortably all night, because those lions never touched him. And they were hungry lions. But they never touched him because of the hand of God. Friend, this is who we have with us. He's with us all the time. We have the help. We have help. You understand? We have supernatural help with us all the time. Get acquainted with him. Get to know him. Get confident in this Holy Spirit. He's not just an experience. He's a person. And he loves you. And he's with you to help you, to strengthen you, to protect you, to do miraculous things in and through your life. Let's believe him to do it. I believe that's why it says over in Mark 16, Jesus told us, he said that believers, those that believe on him, would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Well, why would our hands cause people to recover of sickness? Because the hand of the Lord is upon us. With the hand of the Lord upon us, it causes our hands to have supernatural power to cause sickness and disease to leave people's bodies. Praise God forever. Don't you want to be under the hand of the Lord? We want his hand upon our life always. And again, over in Job, it says he covers his hands with lightning. Well, we know today that that's electricity. So he is electric. I said he is electric. He will charge you up. In fact, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in talking about speaking in tongues, it says here in verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. This isn't a human language. But to God, for no one understands him. There's no human that understands this language of speaking in tongues. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. To prophesy is to speak by inspiration in a known tongue, in a language that people understand. But then speaking in tongues is speaking in a language that no one understands. In the spirit you're speaking. Speaking these mysteries or these divine secrets. But notice what he says. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now that word edifies himself can also be translated builds himself up. But literally, even a more accurate translation in today's world, we could say charges himself up. Charges himself up. So when you're speaking in tongues, which is speaking in the Holy Spirit, because that's who we're talking about. When we're speaking in the Holy Spirit, what's happening? We are edifying ourselves, building ourselves, charging ourselves up. Well, how many people know it takes electricity to charge things up? It takes electricity. You know, if you got a battery that's dead, and you know, my car battery's dead. Well, what do you need? Well, you need some electricity. And you need to get a jump start from a good battery. And so we get these battery cables. Then we take the battery cables and we put them on the good battery. That's just full of electricity. And then we take it, put it on the dead battery that's drained. You know, this battery has got just no electricity left in it. And then what do? We just turn it on. And we just let the engine run for a little while in the car that's got the good battery. And what's happening? It's charging up that other battery. So you see, the Holy Spirit is that good battery. Never gets dull. Full of lightning. Full of electricity. He is the hand of the Lord. And there's lightning in his hands. There's electricity all in him. He is full of electricity. He's like those clouds, full of electricity. And we get to speak it in tongues. So there's a transfer from the Holy Spirit into our spirit that charges us up, gives us a boost. Ha ha ha. Man, it'll charge you up. Listen, if you sat in a room and just went yak, 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 yak for an hour, you'd be worn out. You'd be so tired, you'd be like, my Lord, do I have to say yak, 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 yak anymore? Right? Because you're just saying yak, 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 it's going to wear you out. In fact, it wears me out just listening to other people go yak, 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 yak. Don't, you know, I'm not, you just wish they would stop yakking. Yak, 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 yak. Yeah, okay, okay. Okay, please stop. Just wear you out. Yakety, yakety, yak just wears you out. But you sit there and speak in tongues for an hour. And you don't even understand what you're saying. And you'll walk away charged. You'll walk away stronger. See, because it's real. You're literally getting charged up. Speaking in tongues is transferring the power of the Holy Spirit into your spirit, causing your spirit to be full of the power and strength of God, causing you to be full of electricity. So that when you lay hands on someone, you can zap them or charge them up or bless them or knock something off of them. And sometimes that's what happens. You know, you lay hands on somebody and the power of God will go out. And next thing you know, they're on the floor. You think, I don't know, why did that happen? Well, the power of God nailed them. You know, you put your hand in take a little fork and stick it in an electrical outlet and see what happens to you. You'll probably end up on the floor too. Well, I'm telling you, you got to understand electricity in the natural is just a type or a picture of the Holy Spirit's power in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm. Everything in the natural, everything in the heavens is declaring the glory of God. It's preaching about him. It's all pictures of him. And so this is how he is. Get to know him. He's powerful. He's not just someone we talk about. He is a living person. And he wants to flow in you. And as you're speaking in tongues, you're getting charged up. And there's a transfer of electrical power, Holy Ghost power, flowing into you. So that not only are you charged up, but you're charged to be a witness for him. You're charged to be a blessing for him. You're charged to go out. And when you speak, there's power in your words. Your words are full of power. When you lay hands, there's power in your hands. See, these are real things. We live in a church age today where so many people know nothing about the power of God. It's so foreign to them. They don't believe it. They don't even accept it. They'll think it's the strangest, craziest thing. They'll say, you're crazy. And these are Christians. Calling other Christians crazy. Because they walk in the power of God. Because they believe to see the same things they see in the Bible. They expect to see it in their life. We need to expect to see these things in our life. We need to start seeing ourselves walking with Him. And we're walking around, we're speaking in tongues, you know, muttering to ourselves. But we're being charged. And we see ourselves walking around like this energy force. And we just start getting around people. And things start happening. Because where you go, there should be things something radiating off of you. This should be something happening. Say, we're not just going to keep it as Bible stories. That grieves the Holy Spirit. We believe the Bible and that He is a person full of power and He's with us to manifest that power in and through our life. So we don't get shocked when we see people fall out under the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't get shocked when people have hands laid on them and they're healed. We don't get shocked when people have hands laid on them and all of a sudden they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they're speaking in tongues. We're not shocked when people start laughing and there's nobody cracking jokes. But they just got so much joy. They just can't help themselves. They're laughing. They don't know why they're laughing. Their mind is like, I don't know why I'm laughing, but I'm at you. And they're just hysterical. Because there's joy unspeakable. It's amazing, the joy of the Lord. And that's our strength. I said, that's our strength. Praise God. Somebody say, thank God for the electrical power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, there's all kinds of names. He's called so many different things in the Bible. So many different things in the Bible. First of all, going back to John 14, where it says that He'll send us a helper. That word helper there is the Greek word parakletos. And what that actually means is intercessor, counselor, advocate, comforter. Not just helper. It means all these things. See, they put helper. If you go to the Amplified Bible, why don't you bring up the Amplified Bible of John 14, John 14, 16. Intercessor, counselor, advocate, comforter, called to one's side, especially called to one's aid. Let's see how it says it here in the Amplified Bible. And I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, stand by to be with you forever. Isn't that awesome? Get to know Him. This is who He is. He's your counselor. He's your advocate. He's your attorney to defend you. One who pleads another's cause before a judge. He pleads our case. Counsel for defense. How many of you know the devil's called the accuser of the brethren? You got an accuser that's coming after you. In fact, if you look at the book of Job, Job cried out because he didn't have an advocate. He just had an accuser. But now you and I have an advocate. We've got someone that defends us in court. Legal assistance. He's a legal assistant. I'm just talking about what parakletos means. Legal assistant, an advocate, one who pleads another's cause with one, an intercessor, in the widest sense, a helper, an aider, an assistant. This is who He is. This is who He is. Get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. He's all these things. Let's take advantage of it. He'll defend you. You don't have to defend yourself. Isn't that good? You don't ever have to defend yourself. You just follow Him. And you might be being accused by something. You might be whatever it might be, kind of situation you're in. And the Holy Spirit might just say to you, be quiet, I got this. You know, if you're in a courtroom and your attorney says to you, be quiet, don't say anything. Would it be wise to rise up and say, that's not right? And start defending yourself? I didn't do that. I never said that. I didn't go there. Would that be a wise thing to do? And yet, people defend themselves all the time, right? And meanwhile, the attorney's sitting there going, Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Can I take care of this? Are you going to let me plead your case? You let me take care of this? Well, I can't see you. I can't hear you. That's the beauty of it. I can get into places you can't. I can get in people's minds. I can get in people's souls. I can follow them home in the car. I can influence them. I can change the situation if you'd be quiet. We got to let him be our attorney. Let him be our advocate. Let him be our defense. And he'll be it. But many times he can't because we're doing his job. We're doing his job. Let's let him do his job. Can you say amen? If we let him do his job, he will do it beautifully. Praise God forever. So get to know the Holy Spirit. Spend time. The Bible talks about fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. And I'll close with that so we can leave you with something to do this week. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Last chapter of 2 Corinthians. This is how he closes it out. Last verse of the last chapter. Of the last epistle to the church at Corinth. Here's what he says, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The communion, my margin says for communion, fellowship. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's a deep, intimate communion, fellowship that the Holy Spirit wants to have with us all. He wants to fellowship with us. And so let's get to know him. Let's purpose this week to just fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't necessarily mean we're praying for something and asking for something. We can do that. We come to the Father and we ask him for things in Jesus' name. But with the Holy Spirit, we could just fellowship with him. Just talk with him. Let's start, you know, developing that relationship with him where we could just fellowship. Just like we would fellowship with another person. You know, we hang out with people. We're not always asking him for things, right? But we'll talk to him. And he's great to talk to. And he's great to listen to. Because he'll just talk to you too. And he'll share things with you. And he'll reveal things to you. Make things known to you. Man, that sounds like fun, doesn't it? How many would like to sit down at the feet of Jesus? Just sit down there with Jesus and let Jesus just talk to you for a while. You know, maybe go for a drive with Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit go for a drive with you. Don't do all the talking. Let him do some of the talking. Let's get to know him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.